Welcome to the show. We hope you have a blast. Thanks for making time for the Dealer Talk podcast. Another business leader, here's a penny for your thoughts. This ain't a regular conversation, baby. This that Dealer Talk, yeah. 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 This that Dealer Talk.
What up? Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk podcast. I know it's been a minute. Been a lot of crazy things happening in my life the past couple of months. So, but we're back. We're still on season five. We've got a couple more episodes to go, and then we're going to wrap it up here. But today is a very, very special episode. It is the 100th episode of the Dealer Talk podcast. So I just want to take this time to say thank you to everybody that's tuned in. I want to take a moment to give a shout out to my co-host, Eric Nelson, who started this deal with me. We were together for three seasons. So Eric, if you catch this episode, thanks, man, for all your support in the beginning. And I'm excited, man, to keep this thing going. I learn a lot doing it. So yeah, I'm just very, very excited for this opportunity. It's been awesome to see, you know, kind of the audience grow through the past couple of years and all the different seasons. And, you know, you guys keep coming back, so you must be getting some sort of value. So that's cool too. And, you know, I'm learning a ton in this process as well. So thank you, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about a bunch of different stuff, websites, SEO, current strategies, and I have my very good friend, Mr. Daniel Bompadre. Did I say that right? Is it Bompadre?
Crushed it.
Or we'll just call you Daniel B.
That works too, man. I mean, that's my dad a little bit, but hey, you can do whatever you want.
Right on, man. Hey, dude, thank you so much for doing this deal. Again, 100th episode. You know, this is awesome, dude. Thank you.
I'm honored you had me on for the 100th. I imagine you would have picked someone better looking than I am to be featured here. You don't want this in the big screenshot with my head there. But, dude, I can't tell you how that's so awesome that you got to 100. I mean, I know from running our shows on our end, it's hard to even get 12 out. The fact that you've gone above and beyond that, man. So here's to another 100.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Dude, if you're the perfect guest. We go to the same barber and everything. So
it's right? It's called a straight razor in the bathroom.
There you go. No, dude, I mean, this is going to be great. I enjoy talking to you. You obviously know your stuff. So I think the people that are tuning in are going to get tons of value out of this deal. So I'm excited.
Totally.
Cool. All right. So I kick things off with the background. So tell us about you.
So again, my name is Daniel. I'm over at Fusion Zone Automotive, or FZA Digital. We're a website provider. You know, have about 800 websites, all different OEMs. We're in Toyota, Acura, the whole nine yards. My job over there is I'm the senior director of search, so I oversee our SEO, PPC, social media. You know, everything that involves digital. And I'm involved with a lot of the strategy about that. You know, I also do a lot of work on our own website. You know, work with our own social media and promotions. So I'm all over the place. I got hired over here like 5 years ago as like a content writer, and I've been in every single position under the sun. So if you're on our platform, you have a question, I'm a good guy to reach out to. But no, I mean, I've been doing SEO for 8 years now, and PPC a little shorter than that, but I love it. It's a fun environment to be in. You learn something new every single day, and you know, you're always waking up thinking about something that you wanted to do the night before, you know. You have a whole list coming down, but like, okay, I got to do this on the website, I got to do that, you know. So it's fun.
Yeah, man. No, for sure, dude. Like I said, I've enjoyed our conversations. I think you know your stuff, and so it's great to have people that have your background and experience here, because you know, I think despite how rapid paced the industry is, I still feel like there's some misses, and getting this information out there, you know, definitely helps. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of repeat information too, you know, like you hear a lot of same stuff over and over and over again. And especially with automotive, with how big automotive is as a vertical, you'd think there'd be more specific things to how to manage like automotive websites, but there's really not. So, I mean, I enjoy talking about this one in particular because automotive is both at the same time, like very easy and can be a little tricky. Because again, you're talking about like large scale inventories, right? You're not talking about a million different products. Like you're an Amazon type company where you sell sweaters and socks and this and that, where the keyword mix is so large. You're just talking about cars in general, besides service. But so, you know, it's nice. You know, I like learning from people new tricks, because a lot of times you're hearing the same things over and over again. I mean, how many times you heard an SEO person talk to you about like, just make content on your website. And it's like, yeah, I know we have to do that.
I got one for you here. We're going to talk in a minute about that, but yeah, no, right. For sure. Yeah, of course. Duh. Yeah. Make content. But don't just make content. Right.
Sure.
But anyway,
backlinks.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes. So I've heard that a million times. How do I do that?
All right. So let's kind of, it's kind of a good start this deal. Right. So let's talk about that. Like, where do you see the industry right now when it comes to just the digital space, man? Would you say that we're advanced? Would you say that we're behind? Would you say we're somewhere in the confusion state still? Like, or do you think that we've really taken this, we've evolved to the point where, you could see kind of those trends. Everybody's kind of doing the same trends. They're doing the right things, making the right moves. Like, what are your thoughts?
So the automotive industry as a whole is segmented right now into two different parts, right? You have your three. You have your OEMs. You have your Hondas, your Toyotas, your Nissans, whatever. They're large scale sites. They're neither against you or for you, right? So in the digital space, they bid on keywords for you. They rank for SEO. So if they go to the website, there's a lot of chances that a customer's going to end up going to your site anyway, just from proximity. So those are kind of like a neutral state. Then you have the OEM dealers who, are your, Tom Smith Nissan down the street. They have been 10 years behind forever. And in so many different ways, from website design, from the way we look at digital to, the ways we approach our PPC spends. I mean, everything's just kind of in behind. And because dealers spend so much money, there's not always an incentive for a lot of innovation, right? Because dealers can get complacent, because it's like, hey, I'm selling cars and I'm spending 10 grand a month on it, then everybody's happy, right? So the space that people are really pushing, how do we do better, is very narrow. And up until very recently, there hasn't been a whole lot of need to. Now, I mentioned that there's three spaces, and that's because the third one are your car gurus, your auto traders, your Carfaxes. Those in the last 5 years have started to suck up every space on a SERP. You're talking about companies that you're going out there with your big boy budget of 10 grand and they're spending $100,000 of PPC a month.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, right. They're one website versus thousands of smaller websites. And Google, in their quest to provide the most information on a single link click, is going to go with larger case websites. So what we've seen before, where 5 years ago, I had dealerships that had, if you typed in like a new, Camry in their area, they had all 10 spots. Like that was just the case. I could just do that. Nowadays, we're lucky to have one, two, and then everything else is all these larger case websites. So dealers are going to have to adjust, and like marketing companies are going to have to adjust very quickly. Because my biggest concern is that those companies are only going to get stronger and better. I mean, God help us if they ever figure out their page speed issues with the new Core Vitals update that Google released. Because it's just, what are you going to do? I mean, they're so much larger than your dealership website and the way that Google looks at websites. It's just going to be a huge problem. So,
but is it though? I mean, I agree that there's something there, but I still see the stores that I work with outranking them in some categories. You know what I mean? So, I think the deficiency that they have is in their strength, right? Too much inventory, oversaturation, I mean, on the SEM part of it, with those budgets and stuff, it is very, very difficult to compete, but there's other ways, like with social, for example. I think social is a great way. It's kind of an equalizer right now. I don't know how long it's going to be that way, but I mean, I've been preaching this for the last year, but we have to kind of take back control of our inventory, man, and start pumping customers, start grabbing consumer intent wherever we can and dropping them straight into our website. I think that that's the dealers that can do that and are doing that on a regular basis are just going to win more. Because to your point, like, listen, if I'm in New York and my customer that's going to buy that specific car is in Florida, okay. I mean, I can't, as an independent marketer for a dealership, it's very hard for me to do that without third parties. I get that 100%. You need that. But for my backyard, for 10 miles, for 35 miles from my dealership, like, dude, I should own that outright. There should be nobody doing it better, because most dealerships fail at that. They're looking at, you know, that somehow we got into this idea that the internet allowed us to sell, you know, beyond borders sort of a deal, which it does. But I mean, seriously, is that what you're going to base your strategy? You're thinking about it backwards, right? You should be looking at that for the extras and really focusing in your backyard and making sure that that's tight. I mean, I don't know. That's just my philosophy. But I think that if dealers do it that way, that they'll win more, you know?
Yeah. You bring up a lot of good points, right? Like focusing on your territory. It is very hard compared again. Very recent from ago to rank in cities that are 30 miles, 50 miles away.
Right.
It's just harder to do that today than it is back then. The only concern that I have is that a lot of dealers are still operating like they are the big dogs.
Mm.
And that's kind of like part of, like, again, not an issue today, but in 10, 15 years now, if you're not preparing for what it's going to happen, then you're already going to be behind.
You're going to be behind. Yeah.
And social is a perfect way to differentiate yourself from a CarMax or a Carvana, because what is going to happen is that dealerships for the last 50, 60 years were some of the like most influential businesses in a town. Right. I mean, even today, their lobbying power is huge. The ability for like to jump from like a dealership to like a political position is pretty common. You're looking at a different environment now where these are going to be considered like very small businesses compared to, you know, let's say Amazon gets in the car selling. I mean, you're talking about guys who are like 70 to 80,000 times your size.
Yeah, so, that's what keeps me up at night, dude. Carvana, Vroom, Amazon partnership sort of a situation with Jeffy Lube or something like that.
Yeah, it takes one buyout and then next thing you know, you're dwarfed. Right. So the dealers have to stay hungry. They have to not get complacent right now because they need to start separating themselves. And we talked about this when we had you on, I guess, on our show, by humanizing your business. You have to do it today. You have to get people to your business that can tell you're real people. You got to talk to them. You're not some big corporate entity, even though, you know, if you want to talk about Lithia and all them buying up dealerships across the country.
Yeah.
It's all getting consolidated. So if you want to survive as a single point dealership, you have to make your human mark. You have to find a way to reach your audience. That's not just, hey, we also sell these cars, because I mean, in more ways than there ever has been, if I'm not happy with my local Toyota dealer, I have tons of options and it's very easy to find out what they have at other dealerships.
Sure.
So you can't just assume that you own your market anymore. You have to, like you said, you have to really work at owning it and making sure you are, without a doubt, the go-to in your local, you know.
Do you think that that's, I think that, let me, before I phrase the question, let me tell you my opinion. Like, I feel, it's my experience that it's still very doable to do those things with SEO and with social and, you know, local promotions and things of that nature, because I feel like there's still a lot of gap when it comes from dealership to dealership. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like dealers have really made the investments in the right ways when it comes to their marketing departments. And let me just expand on that for a second, because it's one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, we spend all this money on third parties. We spend all this money on partners, which you need. I mean, I'm not going to say that you don't, and there's definitely value, but where's the person internally at your dealership that's managing that? Where's the person internally at your dealership that's looking at the analytics? right? And it's really telling you, hey, this is working, this is not working, you know, because a GM, that's not his responsibility. A GSM, that's not his responsibility. And they're not expected to be. Why is the expectation that these guys, now they got to be digital gurus on top of everything else? Like, come on, seriously? So you make all these investments and you build all these relationships, but then you have nobody internally at the dealership to really manage that, to really, you know, place the ROI on those efforts and to create omni-channel solutions between all those different partnerships to make sure that the narrative and the story that you're telling is the same. And right. So, you know, like that's what I mean. That's what I mean when I say that there's a deficiency internally at the dealership, because those roles, the kind of like the person that's supposed to make that stick and make it work for the dealership doesn't exist. You know what I mean? For the most part, and the stores that I find that do it really well is because they do have somebody there that's knowledgeable, that's doing those things. And so I don't know. I mean, what do you think about the dealership internally and managing all those relationships to make sure that they're maximizing, you know, those opportunities? And then, to my point, really helping them capture their local business.
So I think that if you look at like job listings in the last 5 years or so, and I would love to see anybody have any data on this too, I think you've seen in dealership an explosion of hiring more people that are more tech savvy than ever before. Because I think dealers, especially now with how complicated a lot of this has become, have realized that there's no time to do this. I mean, you're bouncing around to 10 different things a day. You know, you're talking to your sales force, you're making sure your BDC is up and running and doing mm-hmm. their job. You know, you're making sure even basic stuff, like are your cars lined up in a certain way in your showroom that everything looks nice and prim and proper, right?
Right.
You got more things to worry about than are we using the right keywords in our service department page? It's beyond you. It's beyond the scope of what you have time in a single day to do. So when we talk to new potential clients, I want to also include on all those conversations some sort of internet director, and I want them to be there, because I don't want to talk to a dealer who has no idea the things that we're doing. Because A, it doesn't help the dealer, because they can't verify anything that I'm saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's honestly, not a lot of marketing companies will do that, which is really sad. But like, I want the dealer to know what I'm telling them is true, is honest, is like an actually good thing for their site, and not just blowing smoke up their ass. Without that internal piece, you don't have a fact checker basically to say, is everything this true? I mean, how many times have you gotten a report from a marketing company? It's like, you know, it just says conversions on it.
Right.
It doesn't tell you like if that's a phone call, if they just count, like, are they going to the page as a conversion? Like, that doesn't count. Like, I can't sell for that.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a great point too, man, because I hate these, and we were having this conversation earlier with one of the clients that you and I, you know, work with, but
right.
I don't like these, oh, look at all these impressions, or look at all these VDPs. Like, same. Yeah, dude, great. Like, I can do that super easy myself. You know what I mean? Like, there's tons of different ways now to drive customers to your website and be like, oh, look at all this activity. But it's the behaviors, man. It's like, yeah. I'd rather get way less activity, but make it the right activity than, right. You know, just start driving people like crazy to the website, because it's just, you know, what's the point of that? You know what I mean?
If you look at something like impressions, which is a great example, as a whole, it doesn't tell you anything.
Right.
It tells you how many people, okay, great. What do I do with this? Right. What a marketer is supposed to do is build that funnel out. Like, this is the actual how many people from this went to this, and here's the conversion rate we have there that clicked away from impression to this. So then you know where to tweak, because statistics like how many clicks did you get and impressions are based on so many factors that you don't have control over. Your budget, how much are you spending, right? If I tell you you got 10,000 clicks, but I'm saying we've spent $30,000 to do it, horrible. If I right. spent $1,000 to do it, you want to like buy me another Christmas present.
Right.
So that's the thing. It's like those statistics that don't have any basis to it, any like floor to how do I measure success, is they're inherently worthless, right? So if we look at your click-through rate, it's like, okay, you got 1,000 impressions and your click-through rate's 5%. That's really good. So that's kind of like where we're going to base on. So that part's good. So let's look at this part in the funnel. Then this part of the funnel, you're converting, or you converted those sales or those leads into sales. It's like, I always think about this stuff like fixing pipes, right? You got to pour the water through the top and see where it's leaking. And then once you fix the leak, you should see your water get to where you want it to go. So.
No, I like that's a very good analogy, man. I kind of struggle with this one a little bit because it's what I do professionally. And not that I struggle, like I'm actually pushing for, you know, dealers to really create an analytical position within their dealerships. Like companies like me shouldn't exist, right? Like they should have those people internally at the dealership doing these things. And so, you know, it's really good that we're having this conversation because, you know, when you sit down with those decision makers at a dealership, and if you're a decision maker and you're listening to this, you know, you're probably going to be like, oh shit, you know, like he has a point. You're sitting into these meetings and how many times do you talk to somebody about the right stuff? You're talking directly to the decision maker about the right stuff. You're showing him the data and you're showing them the results with the data. And they're like, they have no clue what that even, you know what I mean? Like they don't even know, you know, it's to them, it's just down to sales, you know?
Right. Cause that's the part of it that they're used to.
Right.
That's the part that's like, if you hand them, you know, if you hand them a wrench, they never like, you know, fix their sink before like you go, I don't like you go by the sinks, but if you hand them that, they don't know what to do with it. They're going to go look at it. You can sense the hesitation in them.
Exactly.
Cause they want to know what they're talking about, but they just don't know what to do with this stuff.
But they're not supposed to. That's the thing. Like, really, you're going to throw all that stuff on top of everything else that you have to do. Why not just hire somebody? You know what I mean? That's going to manage that for you. I don't understand like why that doesn't exist yet consistently across the board. I mean, there's some dealerships that are starting to do that, but that should be across the board, man. You know what I mean?
If you're listening to this, if you're a dealer and you're looking at, well, what kind of a person do I want? Right. And like, what, like, do I want someone just a marketer? Personally, with my two cents, I wouldn't hire someone who's just into marketing. I would also want somebody who actually knows legit website design, like a full stack website. They know how it works. They know how the feeds come in through and they go to your website and they go to your inventory and how that connects to your ads or how that, you know, goes in SEO.
UI, that stuff is, you know what I mean? Like the experience, all that stuff. You know what I mean?
How many times, the dealers, we get tickets all the time where you can tell that a dealer has an idea, that they know what they want in their head, but they don't know how to verbally or write it down and explain to like a technical person what exactly they want. Exactly. Having someone that can say, no, we want this, you know, we want this in columns with 3/5 spacing. We want the pixel size to be this much. We're actually looking for this kind of a character length here because we want to make it fit in the meta title. If what I'm saying right now sounds like gobbledygook, then you need somebody because that's something that if someone gives the direct instructions, you're going to find that you have a better experience with your website partner, no matter who it is, because you're going to be able to speak their language and they're going to be able to take their request and again, if they're any good, match that completely to what you're saying.
Exactly.
And you know, you don't need somebody, honestly, who has 20 years in this business. Right. You don't need to have someone who even knows automotive because that's not their job. Mm-hmm. Their job is to know websites. They have to know specific things like what is an inventory feed?
But it's almost good that they might have those kinds of questions too, because that kind of perspective leads to discovery. Right. So I appreciate a little bit of a mix there. And if you have, but see, you can't get that mixed up with like an internet director. You know what I mean? Like this has to be an analytical sort of a position. Like just, there's just too much going on. Plus the other benefit is that it helps your department or your dealership, make sure that it has the right mix because, you know, in some places, you know, Auto Trader, cars.com, Car Gurus works perfectly. It's legit. It works. It drives leads. It does all these things that it's supposed to do. In some places, it doesn't. In some places, direct mail still have a little bit more of an edge or an impact. And, you know, in some places, social killing, and in other places, they don't. You know, I'm working with a dealership right now that's kind of in a what's that called? Like a kind of like a separate market. You know what I mean? Like they're in an island sort of a deal. You know what I mean? Social there like is better than anything because there's nobody's doing it. It's super cheap. You can hit pretty much everybody in a 35-mile radius. Super, super cheap. And so, you know, if you don't have somebody that knows and can actually follow the data and see that stuff, you wouldn't even know that. Plus all the overlap. Like let's you know, to stay on social. How many times do you have a company that sells you these quote unquote bundle deals? You know, you're getting the bundle. You don't even know what's in the bundle. And all of a sudden you have Facebook on there like five different times. And it's like, dude, like, you know, I have all these companies doing the exact same thing. Like, why? You know,
and it makes no sense, especially when you're trying to vet out third parties. Having someone that can look through and be like, hey, where are these leads actually coming from? Where are they going? Are we actually getting good value out of this? And it stinks, but it happens all too often. If we've done this for companies, or I've done this like freelance, right? Where I've been hired as a consultant. And I'm going through data. I'm like, well, where are these coming from? Okay, we're going to, you know, we sold like one of these and we got 200 leads off of this. Like, so you don't think that's a problem? They have 200 leads out of a source and you're only sold one car. Like, why not cut that back? Like, it's not being very effective because even though they're telling you, oh my God, look at all the leads we have. We converted at 15%.
Or your processes are broken. One of the two, right?
Right. So if you're not selling the car, you're not making an ROI. Then why are you spending money on any of this? And, you know, the biggest farce in SEO right now is that it's about rankings or traffic or anything like that. It's exactly what you said earlier, which is it's not about any of that. It's about selling more cars. It doesn't matter where you're getting the traffic from. If you're improving your traffic and you're seeing more car sales, keep doing it.
Right.
If you're increasing your rankings and seeing your traffic, keep doing it. We have websites that get they have single pages on there. They get like 50,000 page views a month, but they're like TPMS pages, which is like your tire pressure monitoring system. Awesome. It's helped our other pages rank up, you know, it gets a ton of traffic to it, but we have to like build reporting around that to show that like, we're not worried about getting traffic from there. We're not worried about getting leads from there. So I had to cut that out of the data to show them this is an avenue that's going to help your other page in your website, right, and showing them how that works. But some people will just say, okay, we're getting all this traffic. I mean, we increased your traffic by 200%, right? That's the best thing ever. It didn't do anything to my business. I'm exactly the same as before, where if you got me, you know, 30,000 more page views a month for my inventory, that's a whole different story.
That's a totally different thing, right? Yeah. So, right. And you can do that now. Like, for example, if you don't believe me, put me to the test, but I can drive like you, for example, I can analyze your VDPs right now and I can tell you, okay, you're averaging 10,000 VDPs, your rate per vehicle drop off. I don't like to say sold, but your vehicle, your VDP rate for vehicle drop off, your website is 20 VDPs. So meaning every 20 VDPs, the car moves. Whether it goes to auction or whatever, I don't know, but it moves off your website. I can tell you all that stuff. And then I can tell you, hey, instead of driving 13,000 or 10,000 VDPs next month, I'm going to drive you 25,000 VDPs. And I'll drive you 25,000 VDPs. You can do that these days. You know what I mean? But when you don't know, you know, when you're not measuring the information and you don't know and you don't have somebody internally at the dealership that does know, you miss all these opportunities. You know what I mean? And then you're relying on these third-party companies that have all these other competitors on there and they can't tell you specifically, hey, I'm going to turn on the volume on your VDPs from here to there. They can say, I'll give you, you know, better placement, or I'll, you know, spend more money with me and we'll drive you more that way. But they can't, it's not like they can turn the volume up and down whenever they want to. But you can do that in the world that we live in today. But, you know, because you don't have that person internally at your dealership, you miss those opportunities on a daily basis. And what kills me about that is, dude, I don't know how long this thing's going to last. I don't know. You know, what if Facebook tomorrow says, you know, our prices are 300% more expensive than they are right now? Done. You know what I mean? And now it becomes super, super expensive to do the things that we're doing right now on the cheap. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's a weird thing, man, that the opportunities have never been better as far as I'm concerned from a digital standpoint. But if I feel like we are not really taking advantage of it to its full capacity, and it's just really frustrating to me.
And that is why I try to bang this drum as much as possible about SEO, because you cannot control what Google Ads does, right? Google Ads is going to change their, like I said, their pricing strategy. They're going to make it so, you know, your badges don't mean anything anymore, you know, all this stuff, right? With SEO, you own that domain. That is yours. That is power. And if you have an SEO company for a year, 2 years, 1 month, whatever, all that work that you do to accumulate power into the SEO stays with you forever. That has actual retail value to it. So
let's talk about that, man, because that's another one. So I agree. Like SEO, I've always said SEO is a long-term success strategy for your dealership. You know what I mean? And the reason I say that is because, first of all, it takes a minute. It's not like you can just pay somebody to make your SEO tight and then tomorrow all of a sudden it's going to take a while.
Not in automotive now.
But once you get there though, you know what I mean? Once you get it and it's set and it's good to go, like you said, I mean, that stays forever, right?
Yes.
And you can only build on that. But the kicker of it, which a lot of people don't have the conversation, is that when you do that, you decrease your spend on everything else. Because if you're let's just talk about SEM, SEO. If you're doing, if your SEO is tight and you have overlapping strategy with SEM, you're not going to need the SEM anymore because you're number one, right? So what do you need SEM for? Like most of the people don't click on the ads anyway. What's the ratio? I think it's 30% of visits or so click on the ad, on the actual Google ad. But something the majority like that, of the people go down directly to the organic. So if you have that top placement, you don't need it. So you can start to decrease that spend.
It depends on your market. And I know that's everybody in digital marketing says everything depends. It's kind of true. If you are like, you know, in Utah and you have nobody around you, as your SEO increases, you can probably drop down your PPC spend because you're already taking those top spots. If you're in Florida, if you're in the New York metro area, if you're in Los Angeles, you might not want to drop it right away just because the competition is just so dense. There's so many people. It's almost going to be impossible for you to completely get rid of
it. I just said reduce. You know what I mean? Reduce.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
What I'm a bigger fan of is let's reallocate it to more advantageous areas, right? Like try different things with it. And if it doesn't work, then reduce it. Then move it around. Because I think PPC is great as a way to cover your holes in your SEO game.
Sure.
And your SEO game.
There's a lot of right now, but if it was tight,
sure.
You know what I mean? You're going to have less of that. But no, I agree with that. So just for the people that are listening and that are wondering, okay, so how do I do that? So what would be would you suggest, let's say their SEO is tight, right? Then what do they do with their PPC? Do they start looking and only investing where the return is advantageous for them, and then eliminate everything else? Would you just do broad search terms? Like what would be the right mix at that point?
So at that point, let's say like, let's define your SEO being tight as in you're number one to three in every vehicle search,
right
in your area. If you're like that for new and used, congratulations, you're the best SEO company in the world. You're the best SEO company in automotive.
You're the best dealership. You know.
Ever. They're going to make a statue of you in the middle of the desert somewhere.
In the pantheon of SEM and SEO, you're going to be there.
It's going to be a salesman with a big phone just standing above a small town.
That's awesome.
So if you have that, right? Number one, an area that dealerships in particular suffer is service. And it's huge because it's like 50% of most dealerships like revenue. And yet you talk to them about service and they just like roll their eyes in the back of their head. It's like, guys, this is so important. It's so easy to make traffic in here.
So let's look at your company. Is it easy to rank quickly?
easy depending on the keyword. So if you want to get your general service up, let's
talk about oil change because that's the most common one. That's going to be hard, man.
Oil changes are tough because of Jiffy Lube.
But the third parties have been doing such a good job at that for a minute.
But this is why I like talking to each individual. Even though oil changes are the most popular, they're not always the most profit generating.
Sure.
The margins slimmish. So it's like, do I want to work on that? Or do I want to get something different? Like, transmission, or do I want to work on, tire realignment or anything like that? Or tires. Tire sales are huge because, the profit margins.
Tires are a good one.
But yeah, so
you talked about the searchability. So I want to make a comment there because it's super easy to rank quick if there's only 40 people in the whole United States searching for transmission services. I mean, I'll build a page right now and in a week it'll be number one. But there's no there's no search volume. So what's the point of
the volume? The volume is first off it can be very high in some measure areas. And on top of that, if you have a good click-through rate and you're able to give specials and what have you, you're able to demonstrate value on your SERP and your meta titles and definitely in your meta description, you'll see a higher click-through rate. You'll see your leads come through, especially if you have like a text to my phone service app, something like that. You will see a lot of scheduling opportunities for it. I mean, it's just the nature. Because again, yes, you might get 10 people to your site, but if you get 5 people to submit a service lead for it, fantastic.
Right.
And it's not unheard of in a lot of ways. So you're talking about, if you look at the whole of service, right, you're talking about competing for those organic with, again, your Jiffy Lubes and what have you. So this is where PPC comes into play. Because if you look at your local competition, right, your like mom and pop shop, they're spending probably around 100, 200 bucks for their website. They maybe have another $800 or so for their digital spend a lot of times. It's a very small, very niche market. And they mostly don't spend anything on their websites in terms of content. The reason why they don't is most of those website providers make you pay per page and like $200 per. They just don't have the money. They just don't think it's going to be worth it to them. So if you have a team that's already doing your vehicle inventory, you're already making your ROI with it, having them do that is like free game. Because even if you only get a couple people a month, it's some people you didn't have before. You had more appointments in there. That's what I'm talking about in terms of like competition. And I know that because I've worked on both sides. I've worked for service centers. I've worked for, automotive dealers. And there's an opportunity there, especially it can be a little pricier. So don't go in thinking you're going to get like $1.25 cost per click. You might get like $2 to $3 one. But it's at that point, again, because your returns are so high, why not? Just why not
Keep
into doing it?
If you're building it for those specific services, I would assume that lower funnel, right? More apt to transact versus just to get information. I mean, when you look at somebody looking for a transmission, I mean, what are they going to do, man? They need the work, right? So, if you're there, if you're able to capture their intent and do it effectively, then you're going to win. But see, that's the other thing. Like let me back up. So oftentimes we talk about the message, but we don't talk about the result of that message. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is marketing is the message, but then you have to be ready to handle the response, right? So you can drive customers to the website with the right keywords and the right campaigns and stuff. But then if they get to the website and the experience is shit, then, I mean, what did you really do? You know what I mean? So before you start with the message, I would start with the website more than anything else. Like, your website's got to be tight, and you really got to think about that experience once the customer gets there. Think about this. You get up in the morning to go to work, get in your car, you're driving to work. It's just a normal day for you. You have no intentions of anything happening. Boom, you get a blowout. Now you're pissed, right? It throws your whole day off. Maybe you're late for meetings or picking up the kids or whatever. You go on Google, you pick up your phone, you go on Google to find the nearest place that you can go get this problem solved, right? Then you do a good job as a company to capture that consumer intent. I get to the website and I have no information on how to schedule or who to call or how to get my problem fixed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what? Now I'm just totally pissed with your company. And I, you know, like, it's just that that's not, you know, you can't just think about, hey, let's put these campaigns in motion, because that's oftentimes how we think about it in the car business. Oh, I got to do the marketing. We got to do this. But then there's right. no post message implementation or thought or anything. So, you know,
you're totally right. You're right on the money. And that's, again, going back to that pipe analogy, right? You're pouring water in the top and it's just falling out the bottom. You're not really saving anything.
Right.
So what we look at, like when we audit websites that come over, the first thing we do is we try to build out, like, where are you at today? Like, are you converting well? Are you getting people to your website? Are they converting your website? The first thing we look to do is that bottom end. Right, because if you're not able to retain anything, it doesn't matter how much I pour in up top; it's just going to come out and do nothing for you. So that's why having things on your website, like if I go to any of your service pages, and at the very, very, very top there isn't a button that says "call," you got to start over, because you need that call. Because like you said, I don't want to submit a form on the side of a road when I'm sitting there pissed about a whole bunch of other things. I'm trying to text in my name. It's just going to be annoying. Right. Let me just call you and talk to somebody as soon as I can. Well, and especially if you're smart.
Here's the kicker about that. So then, then you have to do the same thing for the in-person experience. Message, right. digital, in-person. Right? Because let's say you do all that. You get to the website. There's a click to call and I call. And it says, it just says, first of all, service isn't even number one. It's like number five. Like, that's when you know that that dealership service is not even an afterthought, man. It's like way in the back. Like, you gotta, you know, it'll transfer you to the owner of the dealership before it'll tell you to click here for service. You know,
you click on it, sends to the yellow page. It's like, yeah, I know, it's somewhere in there.
And then you click it, and then it rings and it rings and it rings and it rings and it rings, and you're like, shit, was it me that did something wrong? Let me try it again. And it rings and it rings and it, dude, like, come on.
Yeah. Like,
so
yeah, you have to have those steps locked. And if you want to know like how much stuff on your website an SEO will look at. I tell people this, that the first thing I do if I have a client, if I'm working for FusionZone, I'm working for anybody, I will spend like an hour, hour and a half just poking around the website. I'll click things. I'm like, what happens if I click this? What happens if I call? Do I get a good experience? Do I get like some random person who doesn't know why I'm calling them? And I start writing things down. And people are like, that's an hour. Like, isn't that like way too long? Like, how simple could a dealership website be? You will be shocked at how much stuff you're like, wait a second, if I was a customer, that doesn't make sense. How many times has a dealer actually gone through and tried to schedule like an actual service appointment on a website? Like, go do it. Like, go do it today. Go try to read around and find it. And you'll be like, oh, this isn't the experience that I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a lot easier. And if you start fixing those problems, you start making it more robust and easier to read. And you make sure your font sizes are correct for phone and desktop. I mean, not only will you see benefits in other areas, but you're going to see your actual, you know, website traffic perform better, your actual user metrics on your site, you know. If I could for a second, there's a lot of emphasis on, okay, get them to the site, get them to convert. Great. Next one, get the next one in there. The added value of getting good reviews and getting people to submit things and getting people to get into your community and liking your page content. Maybe you make a friend at the dealership with your sales guy and you like each other on Facebook, and suddenly they're liking their profile pics about your dealership and stuff. Those search signals are important, especially with reviews. Mm. I mean, the amount of times that you'll look at, a dealership that is crushing it and they have 700 reviews and none of them being responded to. I believe this is still the case. So if I'm incorrect, I'm a little outdated with this, please, I'll let you know. But I believe it was a factor of Google, not how many reviews you have, not how many reviews that you responded to, but they look at, in particular, the percentage of your total reviews that you responded to. So if you have 500 reviews and I have 100, and you respond to 50 and I respond to the 50, well, I've responded to a larger percentage of my reviews than you have.
Sure.
That's going to give me more power to my website. What's that?
It's considerably more. You're at 50%, I'm at 5, right? Or 10.
Right. I'm getting more authority from Google for doing that. Everything else is irrelevant.
Even if it's not a factor, I don't know. I won't claim because I don't know for sure. I mean, I've read stuff about it in the past, but then I know that they've changed. They've kind of loosened those things as well. So, but forget about the ranking and all that stuff and the authority, which I mean, it's important. I'm not trying to dismiss it, but just as a consumer, right? Because that's another thing. We fail to be consumers in the car business for some reason. Just as a consumer, I would put way more emphasis on that. If I'm looking at the reviews and it's like, holy shit, they're responding, like that catches my attention, man. You know what I mean? Yep. Even if they're bad, preferably if they're bad, because dude, there's no dealership, there's no business on the face of this planet that's going to make every single customer happy. Not going to happen. But as a consumer, it's more important to me to know that, hey, we messed up. Something happened that made this customer upset. And you know what? We're doing something to fix it. It's like that book. I think it was called You Will Be Satisfied. The guy that used to work at the number one Lincoln Mercury store of the world. Is it Costa or something like that? The guy's name. I don't remember, but. Fantastic book, you know, car guy. His whole philosophy was about customer satisfaction and, you know, taking care of the customer and how important that is for your business success. So when it comes to that digital experience, that's how you prove it. That's how you tell the customers before they even come into your dealership that you're all about customer service. And on the flip side of that, if you don't do it and you're not engaging and you're not doing those things, it shows, you know, it says something about you to customers. So yeah, man, that's a great point. That's such a big part of the overall experience in today's digital world that we live in, and it's very neglected still, I think.
Especially like not even considering like Google, right? Yelp, right? Yelp is like a graveyard for bad reviews. It's just like, you know, everybody, I've never seen a business on there above a 3-star because everybody just goes there and complains. But why does it have to be that way? Why can't you send good reviews there? Why can't you be the only dealer that has like a 4.5-star review on Yelp and have a lot of them to back it up?
Sure.
I mean, taking the path of least resistance is probably not going to serve you the best. You want to try in areas that other people are failing.
I agree. Like I'm not, you know, I agree. So I'm going on the record. I'm saying yes, but I have a little problem with Yelp because of the whole mafia that they have with that. So that's an issue.
That's the asterisk we'll put on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we need to create a good customer review site where we flip it on the customer. And it's like, you know, you rate the customer. Okay. This customer has like a 1-star because there is a lot of people that go into the dealership and they just want something for nothing and they want to take advantage of the dealership. Like, you know, I'm going on the record here and I'm blast to customers, man. Like they say that the dealerships are deceitful, but the customers, man, like they're very dishonest. They say things over the phone about their trade. They bring in the car in and they're just trying to, you know, like squeeze that, you know, they're trying to like, you know, lie straight up. Or they go to a service department. They have the service department goes above and beyond, man, above and beyond to help the customer. And there's just no satisfying them. You know what I mean? They find one little opportunity to kind of, take advantage of the dealerships, and they will, you know, and they'll just hang on to that. It's crazy, man. And there's no way for a customer to get any, you know, like, I don't know if retribution is the right word, but you know, there's no way for the customer, for the dealership to really get some, you know, a leg up, especially in this world where everything's like, I'm going to give you a bad review. You know, if you don't do this for me, I'm going to give you a bad review. Like, come on, man.
Totally. And I spoke with a dealer way back, and what he said to me stuck with me. And I take it every time I look at a website. There's nobody to blame for a dealership's bad reputation besides ourselves. Like, again, 30 years ago, the used car salesman you know, was your very stereotypical, I'm going to rip you off unless you know what you're doing and paying attention.
Sure.
But nowadays, that's not the case as much because reputations have hold. But I still think a lot of dealerships are fighting against that reputation, and they have to be even more wary about it. And the reason why is because if you see a bad review online, customers complaining, and you have a response from a dealer that's, you know, well met and it's a thoughtful response and tries to address their needs and tries to get them back on the right side, and the dealership's totally in the right, the customer's being completely unreasonable, somebody else might read that review and be like, I side with the customer because it's a dealership and they're probably getting ripped off in some way. So that is a struggle that dealerships are going up against to break that, you know, cycle of like, no, we're not just your average scummy, you know, used car dealer that's going to rip you off. But the sad thing is, I don't think that's prevalent. I don't think that's as widespread in this industry as it needs to be. Yeah. I can tell you, 4 years ago, I bought a brand new car, right? I went to 6 or 7 dealerships in the LA area, and I left every single one of them being like, I am never going back here. And it's just because you're just like, because I'm going in there to try to find someone who can talk to me. I'm just like, hey, I'm just trying to look at the cars. I'm just trying to get a good sense of what I want. I haven't shopped for a car ever. It's my first time buying a brand new car. You know, what's out there? What's the benefits? And everybody's trying to sell me that day. And I understand, you know, they got pressure from their managers to sell and all that. But as a customer, it's like, F this. I'm done with this. I'm not ashamed of it. I went to an enterprise. I walked in there. They said, yeah, here's our cars. Cool. Nothing else. Great. Yeah. How about this one? Great. 1 hour in and out, done. And that's what you're up against. And that's what I was saying in the beginning. You are not in a bubble anymore where you're the only cat in town.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people doing things different. So you have to approach customers in a way that's, you know, not just trying to drive them into the dirt with, you know, crappy sales.
No. Yeah. And I agree. Like there's faults on both ends, but I just feel like in order for us to level the playing field, we need a good human, good yes. human review platform. So any dealers out there, hey, if there's a dealer principal listening to this or something, hit me up. Let's create it. You know, let's partner up and we'll create the very first good human review site. And we'll put all these customers that are not doing a good job on blast. So we just got to figure out how we get them to create profiles for us to
right. mess well, with what's them. Your thoughts on like Dealer Raider?
What was that?
What's your thoughts on Dealer Raider?
Oh, man. I mean, I think there's value in a lot of these things, but at the same time, you got to be really careful with how you look at these things because a lot of those, they're opinions, man. That's what when I look at these review sites, it's like critics, you know what I mean? Right. Like it's just a way for somebody to digitize their opinion and, you know, just because I'm not saying that they didn't have or trying to downplay that they might have had a bad experience, but that doesn't make it the always experience, right? Maybe that guy was yes. having a bad day, or maybe, you know, like that person just, you know, I don't know, broke up with his girlfriend, or who knows, man? Or maybe that customer went in that day and he just was no satisfying him, and you know what I'm saying? So. It's just it's a very one-dimensional way to kind of rate service for a business. I just don't get it. And then the problem is that it does have weight. And as marketers, we have to acknowledge that. But, you know, like, man, it's a weird thing for me. I don't know. There's got to be a better way to set that to kind of, you know, set that kind of level it out, level the playing field, you know?
Yeah. And the thing you said earlier about like, you know, I'm going to leave you a bad review. I mean, that's like plaguing the restaurant industry right now. You have everybody that comes in with like, I'm a food blogger. I do have a YouTube series. Do you know who I am? I think, no, I don't. It's like, I'm not going to give you free food just because.
Right.
And you got to have this mentality. It's like, you know, everybody has one of these. You know, you get the wrong person capturing the wrong thing at the wrong time just because of happenstance. And then next thing you know, you're a target.
It's like that. What's that show? Was it called Black Mirrors or something?
Yeah,
like
Black Mirror, the dystopia show.
Yeah, so they had this episode which was like that. So there was this Yelp-like platform that rated human beings. And if you got to a certain rating, then you couldn't like, you know, they paid you less money and you couldn't buy a house and you couldn't like afford stuff. And this the guy was conflicted, you know, the main character of the episode was conflicted because he had to give his, it was in his power to give his best friend or something like that, the last review that was going to really destroy his life. The guy ended up doing it, so the guy, like, you know, destroyed his life or whatever. But that's kind of like the setup that, you know, we're going. But it's all business based. It's all these humans out there utilizing this as a way to take advantages of businesses. And it's just, I just have a problem.
If you want to get really scary, China has a version of that out about that for people.
Yeah,
that's it. Out of a small town. Yeah, I forget, it was years ago. I saw this. That's scary, man.
So that's maybe we should create one for customers, man. I don't know, just to level things up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's find the guy who complains all the time. I mean, you can also do that by looking at their Google profile and seeing how they give 1 star or everything. But you're right. There's not a way to sort out anybody who is just there to cause an issue.
Right.
But, you know, who's a customer going to side with? Is a customer going to side with a customer or going to side with a business? They're going to side with a customer.
Right.
You
know, sure.
Because that's them. Because that's the one they identify with. They're not the other one. So this is, like, again, perfectly an example of why social media is important. Make sure you have a friendly atmosphere. Make sure your website is mimicking exactly what your sales pitch is. If you are a friendly, you know, no haggle price dealership, that should be everywhere in your
store. Everywhere, yeah.
Man. Don't hide it. Have it everywhere.
Yeah. Brand message, that's the thing. We've had an episode about that here. So, you know, you got to find what it is that sets you apart from the rest and really promote that heavily. All right, man, we're getting close to that time. This has been awesome, dude. I really appreciate you coming on and having this conversation with me. There is one thing I wanted to talk to you before I ask the question I ask everybody that comes on the show. Excuse me. And I just want to get your thoughts. So right now, inventory shortage is a big thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of dealers are, in my opinion, missing a pretty big opportunity in the sense that it's not like my Toyota store has the car and yours doesn't. It's like we're all pretty much in the same boat, right? And a lot of the brands are in the same place. You know, there's a few exceptions to that, but for the most part. And I read recently that the chip shortage and all that stuff was apparently done, and, you know, we're going to start to get inventory. So we may be a little bit too late to really comment on this intelligently, but just in case, I'm going to go for it anyway. Do you think that it makes sense for dealerships right now to have a strategy on their websites about inventory that's in transit or inventory that's going to be shipped? Like some sort of a landing page saying, like, hey, Mr. Customer, we don't have this, but here are some use suggestions if you're interested, or let's build your car and kind of explain what's going on in some sort of a detail and give that customer the opportunity to, you know, purchase that vehicle or leave a deposit. And then on the flip side, so that would be SEO. I'm assuming there should be some SEO value to that. But on the flip side, when it comes to CPC, you'd be able to keep spending money on those relevant keywords, but then drive them to this other experience that talks about the current situation.
Yeah. So for a page, we have the capability to do in-transit vehicles on our sites. So I know, like, it's a possibility. And the way it works for us is that we basically just make every single combination of every vehicle we could possibly have. So if you're looking for a red Corolla with a certain trim and, you know, all the works to it, we have that on your website that's in transit. The thing that is a little wonky about it is that customers are not, from what the data that I've seen, are not too interested in, how do I say, like, the theoretical of what you can provide them. They want to know what you have today. So a lot of times,
but they're going to all these different stores and they're running into the same issue. That's why I think that having something may be of value now. I'm not saying always, but just in this current environment.
Sure. And then I think your messaging is big for it. Like, you're saying, hey, you know, there was a national, you know, shortage of inventory. We want to work to provide you and get you the vehicle as soon as possible. what I would recommend is that's a decent strategy. I would definitely have messaging on your website about that front and center. Don't put it on your slideshow banners, right? Nobody's going to see that. Put that somewhere like on your inventory. Say, hey, if you don't see something here, this is because this is going on, right? Educate customers about how this works. And then also within a lot of the algorithms and the search engines on your own website, a lot of them can show like-minded vehicles. Because maybe like red isn't really the has to be color for them. Maybe they have a couple. So show them around it and say, hey, if you want these, like you can submit a lead on this so we can contact you and let you know. For those, you're going to find a lot better success if you make it very clear that you're not just taking their number down to harass them with other things they're not concerned about. Right, that you have to be very focused on that. You have to actually buy into the customer trust. It's like, I'm trusting you. If I give my name and phone number here, you're just going to come back to me with this information, because I've heard some bad stories about people getting turned into site marketing cycles with that and getting completely reamed, you know, over the phone because like, guys, I just wanted a car for this. So yeah. It can work. I wouldn't, in the short term, I would not worry about an SEO part perspective of it. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing your normal thing, SEO. Keep building the normal pages you would. It's going to be fixed too much. It's too dependent on your region. I've heard dealers right now that are like saying like, we're doing okay with inventory. We're just managing our sales a little bit better and like making sure we're not just trying to get everything out there, trying to get the most out of all of our inventory, which is smart. So don't worry about it from SEO. Page experience is everything. Make sure you have a very clear message everywhere. You know, a little red bar at the top of your SRP saying, if you don't see something here, it's because of this. Here's what you can do about it. Click here and you can maybe submit a form or get in touch. Even better, get in touch with somebody. Again, call us, have this number and have this go to somebody as much as you possibly can. Who's going to, like you said, be able to pick up the phone right away and know why they're calling, right? Because if you get that number and they say, hey, this is calling because of this, then that's really important. So it's all about messaging. It's all about, again, explains, because customers aren't dumb too. Right. Like they might not know everything about vehicles, but they understand like we don't have anything right now because of COVID, because everything's still opening up. So yeah, I think it's in short, messaging on your website, make sure the customers know you have options to bring these vehicles in, and then PPC, I'm hesitant. I'd love to see some results from it to try it out with somebody. But it's, again, the same thing with SEO, where it's like Google isn't a huge fan of like theoretical pages and pages that disappear a lot. So a lot of times you could see your cost not make sense for just doing a normal campaign. Because, again, you're spending money on this point. You're not building anything long term. I'd rather get my ROI than worry about this temporary thing that, you know, will, and we know that for now, resolve itself. Yeah.
Right on, man. No, thanks for that. I definitely wanted to talk about that because I've had a couple conversations with some of the stores that I work with on some of these strategies. I think I've seen some success with these landing pages, you know, just driving them there. And then the customer does, you know, in some cases, you know, build the car out and buy the car, or they have that car in transit. If they can make that purchase prior to the arrival or whatever. But I only do it for like cars that typically get a lot of high traffic views, and I don't want to kill that traffic to the website because we don't have the inventory.
Right, so totally.
But anyway, dude, thank you again for doing this. Thanks for joining me on my 100th episode, dude. This has been awesome, man. I think we had a really good conversation. We covered a lot of different things. So I hope that for you, the listener, that you're getting some value off of this deal. There is one question that I ask everybody that comes on the show, and that question is, where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years and why?
I see the automotive industry becoming far more consolidated than it is due to pressures of, you know, different manufacturers like Tesla getting traction, different companies like CarMax, Carvana, you know, auto traders of the world. I see them consolidating the digital space more. And I see dealers focusing far more on trying to make that human connection. You will expect to see a lot more friendly faces, a lot less like temporary art or whatever it's called. It's like the basic art that you see on websites that everybody has. It's going to be a lot more focus on your inventory, your sales team, getting them up in front and making that connection. I do think that dealers are going to see continued success for a while. I don't think it's all doom and gloom, but I think the ones that are planning today, the ones that are taking the time to make sure their SEO game is tight, to make sure their PPC game is spending efficiently, to make sure they have the internal teams that we've talked about today, that they can vet new age data, that they're looking through new avenues like OTT, marketing, and just, you know, having everything covered, you guys will be fine. But if you're not taking these things seriously today, it's going to be a whole new market about 15 years, especially as, you know, the Gen Z of the world start buying cars for the first time. So keep going digitally, keep working on your UI, ask questions every day, and I think you guys will do just fine.
Right on, man. There it is. My homie, Daniel B, or Daniel Bompadre from Fusion Zone Automotive. Dude, again, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a great conversation. Thank you, everybody, for all the support the last 2.5 years. Really, it means a lot. I never expected this thing to get to where it is now. And, you know, we'll see where it gets to in the future. So that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as usual, we'll talk later. We only host the well-respected, the vendor Lexus Nexus. We don't sell digital marketing. What you do? We inspect it with our DT vendor management solutions. We come in like the EPA to clear out the pollution.
Take the trash out.
Go keep the P&L clean. Your inventory lean.
From product pitches, meetings, to cost negotiations, your vendors have you swamped. You have cars to sell, but most of your time goes in managing your vendor relationships. Wouldn't it help to have someone navigate the way ahead? Enter Dealer Talk Vendor Management Solutions. A filter between you and your vendor so you only have to deal with what's most important. We inspect your digital data to get optimum results for your money. Here's what we do. Give you an accurate idea of what's working and what's not for every digital service. Get vendors to submit monthly highlights, lowlights, and recommendations. Sift through their data to give you those metrics that matter. Evaluate all package, content, or cost changes and product pitches. Do monthly marketing budget analysis to ensure better ROIs. Finally, we give you concise reports and monthly videos with actionable insights. Now, you can focus on what really matters, selling cars. Contact us today and your first 30 days are free. Let's build your business together.